Father's Day, let's consider some things about the best father of all. Now, who would the best father of all be? Our Father in heaven. Amen. We have a Father in heaven who gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, as a gift of love. So in a way, when there's gift giving and things to Dad on Father's Day, we're relating the idea that we love and appreciate what fathers have done for us. But how do you repay the gift of the life of his beloved Son? That's how much this Father loves us. This Father's gift conquers sin, it conquers death, it conquers brokenness, and it conquers separation. This Father's gift overcomes the world, and it brings life and immortality through the gospel. I found this interesting. There are 973 verses in the Bible that talk about father or fathers. There's 327 of those are just in the New Testament. So this imagery of the Father is very important. It's something for us to grasp, because when we relate to our Heavenly Father, we relate to him as we would a good and kind and loving father that may have been in our lives. Now, sometimes we have not had that kind of father in our life, but sometimes we've had a man in our lives who has fulfilled that role. So it is that role or that function of the Father that we look to, and when we look to our Heavenly Father, he is the exemplar, he is the perfect representation of what a father would do. Jesus, which is the Father God's gift to us, was crucified for our sins. He obeyed his Father, and he died a painful death on the cross. The punishment that brought us peace fell on him, who was innocent, who suffered so that we, the guilty, might be set free. But a father loved us so much that he would go to that length to make sure that what he wanted for us would take place. Jesus' resurrection, the story in Luke chapter 24, is where we're going to spend a little bit of time today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. We're not going to read the whole entire chapter, but some selected readings in there. This resurrection story is proof that Jesus is the Savior, by the way. That he's the Son of God and he's the Lord of life. He died as our Savior and he rose to prove it. He rose to prove it and to be our Lord. So we're going to survey the 24th chapter and then look at part of what Luke stresses here and relates to the topic of Father's Day. But first, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, you have given us the word, the perfect word, the very breath of your intent for us. Father, as we read into your word, let us not be simply partakers of knowledge, but experiencers of your love for us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in Luke chapter 24, the story of the risen Jesus sort of unfolds in several pieces. So first, we have what happens the first night. And we need to advance the slide. There we go. So in Luke chapter 24, at the beginning, just verses 2 through 9, here's what we read. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. So here's the thing. God tells us, Father God tells us many things. He tells us things that will happen. He tells us the repercussions when we don't obey him. And sometimes we listen, and unfortunately sometimes we don't. So this was a classic case. Jesus had told the disciples at least four times, by my count, exactly what was going to happen to him. And even at this point in time, they're stunned and amazed. So I know when I was growing up, my father would tell me stuff, and you should do this, and you shouldn't do that. And this may come as a complete shock to you that as a young man, I did not always do what I was told. I know nobody else has had that experience. But now that I'm a father and a grandfather, I look back and I think, what was I thinking? He told me, stay away from that, don't do that, or make sure you do that. What was I thinking? I didn't pay any attention. And so it's funny to me when I tell my children and my grandchildren, hey, don't do that, or don't go there, or make sure you do that. Why am I surprised when they don't listen? But we need to listen to our Heavenly Father. We need to have faith in that our Heavenly Father has our best interests at heart. A good father wants what's best for his children, amen? And sometimes as children, we actually don't want what our Father wants for us. Sometimes our Heavenly Father needs to discipline us. I've certainly had my share. But we have to remember that fathers love their children and they want what's best for them. So sometimes we need to be a little more strict. So the ladies, they went through this process. The resurrection is announced by angels to these women who've come to the tomb to anoint the body with spices, since they couldn't do it when it was placed in the tomb originally. They run back to tell the apostles, but what happens? They didn't believe them. Interesting. But let's read another section. Jump ahead a little bit. Look, we're still in Luke 24. Look at chapter verse 25 through 31. This is Jesus talking to them. He's met these fellows along the road to Emmaus, and they don't recognize him at first, and they're kind of downtrodden because they apparently didn't believe his prophecy, and they're kind of sad, and he's listening to them kind of moan and groan. And this is what he says to them. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses, and all the prophets, he had interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And he goes on. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, finally. And he vanished from their sight. Now, we don't know if this was like a puff of smoke, and he vanished like that. We don't know if he just left. It isn't really important to the story. But Jesus went to them, and it says, if you just listen to what Father God has been saying all along, because you know when the prophets gave their prophecy, they were speaking on behalf of God. So all along, Father God has been telling them what's going to happen, and these fellows were kind of down and out. And Jesus says, oh, you foolish men. Have you never heard the prophets? And he explains it all to them. So sometimes, here's the deal, sometimes when our fathers would tell us things, and we wouldn't do them, and then the years go by, and then we look backwards and we say, oh, you know what? If I had been paying attention, I would have avoided that. And it's just the same is true of following the words of our Heavenly Father. As we grow older and we mature in the faith and we become more sanctified in the Word, we tend to drift further and further back to where we should be, just as with our earthly father's wisdom, we come to see it for what it is. So Jesus appears to the two disciples that are walking along the road. They are prevented from recognizing him as he talks to them about the scriptures concerning himself. And remember, when Paul would do his evangelism, when he would talk to the Jews, what he would do is he would start with the prophets and he would walk through everything that had been told about him and try to reason with them. And ironically, the Jews, who, as the Bible says, had the oracles of God, very often didn't believe. Sometimes we just don't want to listen to what the Father has to say. But they invite him to join for dinner, and as he blessed and broke the bread, he just disappears. So he dropped in to give them a little bit of wisdom. Now the last one, we're going to go to verse 36. 36. Verse 36 starts out here. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, this is after his resurrection, and the guys are all up in the upper room, and they're kind of miserable, and oh, woe is me, I don't know what we're going to do. Now remember, Father God, through Jesus, has said death, burial, resurrection on the third day. So they're in this upper room, and they're all sad, and then all of a sudden, Jesus is there. But they were startled and frightened. They thought they saw a spirit, and he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do your doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and touch my feet. That is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And he goes on, and he says, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they were still disbelieved, for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate before them. And finally he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Folks, the words of scripture are the words of your heavenly Father who wants the best for you. When Jesus says, as he's departing, he gives the great commandment, you are to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember the love the Lord with all your mind? What he's saying is, if you have a full and rich understanding of the scriptures, then you will know the Father the way he wants you to be known. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell them there. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The scriptures tell you where the Father is in relation to you, and the scriptures tell us how we are to be in relation to him. So while they're speaking, Jesus is suddenly there. They're all upset. And he does something interesting. Not only does he show them his wounds, he says, "Do you have anything to eat?" Now, if you really think about it, the resurrected Jesus probably was not necessarily hungry. Or I'm guessing he probably actually didn't need food. But why would he do that? Why would he do that? Here's why. He wanted them to understand that just as he walked among them as a man, he was still the same Jesus. He was still the same person that they had spent 3 years with. To sit down and eat with him is something that they had done over and over and over again over the years. It was to calm their spirit. So we don't have Jesus showing up and saying, I'm going to sit down with you at the fellowship meal. If he does, we'll feed him. But God wants us to understand him. The scriptures are not hard to understand if you just put in the work. Because your heavenly Father wants you to know them. Because if you know them, if you fill your heart up with scripture, then you will know the things that the Father in heaven wants for you. Jesus explained his life, death, and resurrection to them from what was written in the scriptures, and he gave them the commission to go and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to the whole world. After what you have seen, go and preach to the whole world. Now, we have not actually seen the Father, so we don't have that. But you remember what he told Thomas when Thomas finally got the idea that, you really are my Lord and my Savior. Do you remember what Jesus said to Thomas? He says, now that you've seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Your heavenly Father wants you to have faith in his word. So now, it was a grand finale, and Jesus gives them the commission to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. So you're thinking, what has this all got to do with Father's Day? I'm glad you ask. It has all kinds of things to do with that. First, think about Father God's relationship to Jesus, his son. Our Father in heaven has had big plans for his son from the beginning of time. Those plans have been revealed to us throughout the scriptures, and Jesus has followed the Father's plans to the letter, even when it cost him his life. I propose to you that we have a father-son relationship here that is a great example of all the father-child relationships. We have a Father in heaven who loves us, who has a plan for our lives, and he wants nothing more than for us to follow his plan, not our plan. And just like disobedient children, it takes us a while to catch on to that. Fathers among us, let me ask you this. What plans do you have for your children or grandchildren, as the case may be? How are you sharing those plans and preparing your children to follow them? Now, remember in our video at the beginning, this includes men who may not actually have their own children, but maybe they mentor a person, a child. They are important in their lives. What plans do you have for them? And how are you communicating those plans? One of the biggest mistakes that fathers make, in my experience, is they love their children and they want what's best for their children, but because they're a man, they're very stoic and they don't share a lot of stuff. You know, that's the mom's job, is to relate and all that stuff. I'm going to go out and make the money and take care of... No. Whatever plans you have for your children, you have to let them know what you want for them. And yes, they're going to rebel, and they're not going to want to do exactly what you want them to do. But that doesn't alleviate you from the responsibility of having plans for them and helping to facilitate those plans. Maybe we have to back up a bit and ask some more basic questions. How about this, fathers? Are fathers supposed to do this? Is it your job? See, we live in a very strange culture, and this has been going on for decades. I'm not going to teach my kids about religion. I'm just going to wait until they grow up, and I'm going to let them choose for themselves. Really? Find me that example in Scripture. I want them to have the freedom to choose whatever it is that they believe. That is not what a father does. Do we just bring children into the world and let them decide for themselves someday? The problem is letting them just figure out who they are on their own can lead them down some very strange, dark paths. And this day and age, there's so many examples of that, I can't even go there. But how is this supposed to be done? Well, in the Old Testament, Moses is giving the law again to the second generation that has survived the time in the desert before they go into the promised land. So everybody who left Egypt is dead now, and this is a whole new generation. And the book of Deuteronomy, it's the second giving of the law. Moses is recapping everything that the Israelites are supposed to do, and he makes an interesting statement here in Deuteronomy 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You are to be the exemplar, fathers, grandfathers, and the teacher. The acceptance of what you have to teach, that's their responsibility before God. But your responsibility before God is to teach them, to give them the right ideas, to give them examples, to show them why they should follow Jesus Christ. So consider this. God the Father had plans for Jesus' son, right? These plans were revealed in Scripture, right? Jesus executed the plans. Yes, he did. That was a good thing. What if God the Father had modeled his fathering after our modern ways of thinking? You know, Jesus, there's some things that I want you to do. I want you to save the whole world by going to the cross and all that. But you know what, son? You just decide for yourself what you want to do. Do you remember what Jesus said in the garden? He said, you know, Dad, if there's any way for me to skip this, but thy will be done. So there was a moment where Jesus knew what was coming and actually considered not obeying his father. He asked his father, can I get out of this? But immediately said, but thy will be done. We can't father that way. We can't let them decide. They simply do not have the capacity as their children growing up, they do not have the world experience to be able to make that kind of a life-changing decision. So dads, grandfathers, all those that are watching the video, we have to teach them. And we have to teach them every day in every way. Jesus didn't come here to fulfill himself. Jesus came here as the only begotten Son of the God the Father, and who said at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son in heaven, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So what the Bible shows us is that God not only has a plan for Jesus, your heavenly Father actually has a plan for you. And he wants every one of us to become his children and follow his plan for our lives. As dads here on earth, you and I need to know God and to read his plan for our lives and walk in it first, so that we can help our children come to know the plan for their lives and walk in that too. If we father our children as God demonstrates for us, we will teach our children his plan and help them follow it. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. We will show them how to walk in the plan by walking in it ourselves and calling on them to follow. So let me just close with this one thought. Remember this. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Our opening verse was, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it's the gods your fathers followed on the other side of the Jordan. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fathers, grandfathers, can you say the same thing? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Abba, you demonstrated so many ways that, like a loving father, you look over us, you watch over us, you hold our hands when we cry, you pick us up when we fall, you bless us when we are obedient, you correct us when we need it. You are the most perfect father that could ever be. Lord, I pray this day that all fathers, grandfathers, or men who father any child would be inspired to follow you first. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us continue this celebration by singing Faith of Our Fathers.
And as we go from this place to share in fellowship, which is another thing repeated over and over and over in Scripture, We ask that we, for a blessing upon the food and the hands that have prepared it. Now, receive this benediction from the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Go in peace.